It's time for Wisconsin Life. The Norwegian flatbread known as lefse is a holiday favorite among many people of Scandinavian descent in Wisconsin. Today, Mike Paulus tells us how he makes lefse the right way.
When my mom makes lefse, she doesn't use potato buds. Because potato buds are for amateurs, y'all. The path to darkness is paved in sticky slabs of potato bud asphalt. People, if you're not boiling up a bathtub load of actual potatoes on lefse day, just hang your head in shame, because you should not be making lefse. Better yet, drop what you're doing, leave your kitchen, and order up some delicious Chinese takeout food, because you need to focus on something other than Scandinavian cuisine. Trust me on this. Well, since you asked, you can't show up to the lefse party without a potato ricer, cuz this is what you need to go buy after you triumphantly throw those potato buds into a sloppy ditch and then light them on fire. You need to work those potatoes like you're tilling the back 40 into a fertile patch of life-giving earth. Peel 'em, boil 'em, and rice 'em into oblivion. Fun fact, it's widely known that Norwegians have the strongest hands on earth, and it's from ricing all those damn potatoes. Up next, add the butter, bucko. Let it cool, and then add some other important ingredients that I can't quite remember, and start making patties. After that, it's time to roll them out flat. But do not pull out a regular, smooth rolling pin. You'll just embarrass yourself and all the other conflict-avoiding Wisconsinites in the room. A real lefse rolling pin is big and corrugated, buddy. It's got deep grooves like an old vinyl record of your grandma's favorite June Carter song. You gotta flour up that counter and start rolling. You gotta roll those patties out thin, but not too thin. Once you've made them all nice and flat, it's time for the griddle. My mom uses a dedicated round lefse griddle, and that means you should too. To transfer onto the griddle, you just reach down and grab the raw lefse with your sticky fingers, right? Wrong! Are you crazy? You need a special turning stick, friend! When I was a kid, I loved my mom's lefse flippin' stick thingy because it was basically a kid-sized samurai sword. Believe you me, that lefse sword was my trusted companion in countless battles and conquests. I never could have crushed the couch cushion rebellion of 1984 without it. Anyway, with the effortless grace of a Viking ballerina, you use that flat stick to pick up the lefse and flip it onto the griddle in one smooth motion. Well, maybe two or three somewhat smooth motions. And then you let it cook for about 30 seconds on each side. Do not let it linger on the heat too long. You're not making crackers, kid. Finally, put the cooked lefse on a towel, because that's what my mom does, and that's it! Congratulations, you've created a mashed potato tortilla that part of the whole family will love. Enjoy, everybody. Just a
little lefse. Mike Paulus is the online editor of Volume 1 in Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
And we continue the lefse conversation now. We're joined by Joan Peterson and her daughter, Susan Peterson Chway. Joan is the author of Eat Smart in Norway, and Susan is the creative director at Ginkgo Press. Joan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And Susan, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
So we heard about a very particular method of making lefse there. Is there a right and a wrong way to make lefse?
I certainly don't think there's a right and a wrong way to make lefse. I think that maybe this would be a very appropriate time for Susan to talk about how we make lefse in our family. And that's what we might think is the right way.
Terrific. And I should point out we have a mother and daughter here. So this has been going on for many years, the lefse making tradition in your family. Susan, did it sound about right, what you did there with the ricer and the lefse stick and all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. We rice the potatoes and mix it with butter and cream and a little sugar and salt and add flour. And my father always did that. And then I was the main roller, and then he was the main fryer, and we had the long stick that he mentioned. And so, yeah, definitely.
Well, it sounds tricky. How difficult is it to make lefse?
Oh, it's not difficult at all.
Yeah.
Need a good roller and a good flipper.
Are there different varieties of lefse, Joan, that we should know about?
There actually are, and I was quite surprised to find this out, and it wasn't until I got to Norway when I went to research this book that I realized that potatoes are not in very many of the types of lefse made in Norway. And in fact, some people were kind of surprised that we used potatoes. The differences can range from a variety of things. You could have different types of flour, barley. You could have rye. You could have a mixture of flours. You could have milk or buttermilk. And you could have, well, of course, some flour, but there are some mixtures that, if they do use potatoes, they use just potatoes and water.
I had no idea there are so many varieties.
It is unusual, and I do believe that the reason for this, or a surprise, is that those of us who are Norwegian, and I would have to say that I married a Norwegian, I am not Norwegian, many of the people who did migrate to the United States from Norway settled in the Midwest, and they brought their recipes with them, and they happened to be the potato making lefse.
I see. So that's how we got the potato kind so right. prevalent here in Wisconsin.
Right. And I actually grew up living next to a Swedish couple. And so ever since I was 4 years old, we celebrated Christmas with lefse. Mm-hmm. And some of the other things I'm sure we're going to discuss on the program.
Well, what is the tastiest way, Joan, do you think to eat lefse? Assuming that here in Wisconsin, we're probably going to be eating the potato kind. What do you think is the best way to eat it at the holiday time?
Well, my preferred way is to spread it with butter and then sprinkle it with either sugar or brown sugar. But I know that brings up the whole story of should we or should we not put sugar in.
What about you, Susan?
Oh, I'm not. I like it just with the butter.
Just the butter. Yeah. You're a purist with the lefse. Okay. Well, you mentioned some of the other Norwegian specialties. You've got a book, Eat Smart in Norway, lutefisk being another Norwegian staple. At least that's one that a lot of us know about here in Wisconsin. How big is lutefisk when it comes to holiday eating?
Well, in the United States, it's considerably more prevalent than in Norway, oddly enough. We eat more lutefisk in the United States. I was surprised to hear that. How do we make that palatable? Have you ever had it?
I've not had it. And my godmother, who's Norwegian, has given me ample opportunity, but I have never tried it.
Well, I think some of the reason why it is unappealing to people is just what it looks like. And it's boiled for a short period of time, kind of at a very low boil, because it will disintegrate if boiled too long. And so then it's put on the plate, and it's a little bit gelatinous. I guess that's a charitable way to describe it. And mostly here, it's served with melted butter. And in Norway, they often use bacon bits, not the commercial bacon bits, but, you know,
chopped bacon.
And I think that's much tastier. And since I grew up with it, I think every year I manage to take another teaspoonful or so, and always brave about it. And even today, I don't eat a lot of it. I enjoy the other things more that are served with it.
Well, let's talk about that. What are some of your favorite traditional Norwegian foods or baked goods to eat when it comes to the holidays?
Well, I guess I like the meatballs. That's wonderful. And I actually like the rutabaga. It's traditionally served mashed. And I do like rutabaga a lot as a roasted root vegetable. But, you know, for the dinner, I like the mashed rutabaga. The dessert is often the sour cream pudding, rumegrøt. And I apologize to all of the Norwegian speakers who might be listening as my accent or whatever is certainly not up to par. But anyway, that is served at a lot of dinners. I have not made it other than...
What's in it? Sour cream pudding.
Sour cream and flour. And it's boiled for a long time, actually hours, cooked for hours, and until the butter will settle out. But for dinners that we've been to, the church dinners, they kind of ladle melted butter on it, and it's not quite the same, but I don't think anybody has the time to spend that time cooking.
Ladling melted butter generally doesn't make things less tasty. That's an interesting observation. In terms of Norwegian meatballs, now briefly here in our last bit of time together, what makes a Norwegian meatball versus, say, a Swedish meatball?
Oh, my. I don't think I'm going to be able to tell you the difference between that. I think maybe the difference would be which country thinks it's meatball better, because I grew up with Swedish meatballs. As a child and as an adult, married adult, it's been Norwegian meatballs. And I couldn't tell the difference, but it's possible that those who are really quite authentic would put in one of the spices, like ginger, which is something that goes back to the Vikings when they brought the spices
ginger
back. Well, especially cardamom, and this is such a classic spice in Norwegian cooking, and the Norwegians had this spice long before other Northern European countries had it.
Well, that's an interesting ingredient for a meatball. Well, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about that and all the rest of it as well. Thank you, Joan.
You're very welcome.
And Susan, thank you to you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Joan Peterson, author of Eat Smart in Norway, and Susan Peterson-Schway, creative director at Ginkgo Press. Yeah.